You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Thank you for joining us for the Michael Chapman Giving Show. Each week, Michael will highlight the joy of giving, as well as shed light on some of today's humanitarian heroes and donors in both the private and corporate sectors. Michael will show you why giving of yourself is truly the best gift you can receive.
Hello, welcome everyone to another edition of the Michael Chapman Giving Show. Really super excited about today's guest. Her name is Catherine Morris. She is known as the Gratitude Champion. This is an area that many nonprofits, I would say, need to focus more on. And that is, it's one thing to bring in a gift. It's a whole nother thing to really keep gifts coming in by loving on your donors. Thank you so much for being on the show, Catherine.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael. I'm excited to chat about all things gratitude.
Yeah, and I love the name, the Gratitude Champion. Let's talk about gratitude. Why is it so important to you, and why do you build your whole career and life around the word gratitude?
Sure. Well, you know, gratitude is, we'll start at the beginning here. Growing up, I was really fortunate to watch my mother be really philanthropically involved. And I just really saw the ripple effects of the happiness with the beneficiaries of that. And the gratitude that my mom received from the acts and services that she did, I really saw that just kind of full circle moments. And so I've just really surrounded myself with happy vibes, and I, you know, keep myself surrounded by that. And, you know, going through high school, I just always found joy in giving back and showering people with love. And so in high school, we did projects that we worked on where, you know, we would go out and have lunches at the park just for free for the community. And then in college, you know, I was on a team that raised money to build a house for a family in need. And I just really think, you know, the world in general is a better place when it's full of happy, smiling people. And so that's kind of where, you know, I just try to promote happiness and gratitude and good feelings and happy vibes throughout the world.
Well, that's a good place to operate from, most certainly. I think we need more happy people in the world. And so you've transitioned from a long professional career in the nonprofit sector, and now you've jumped over to start your own company called Karen Morris & Company. Tell us about that.
So I worked at a nonprofit. Straight out of college, I got a degree in finance in 2008. Not a good time to get a degree in finance. And I've always had a passion for nonprofits and philanthropy. And so an opportunity came to me to be an administrative assistant at a nonprofit. And I said, yeah, like, I want to do that. I want to give my talents to this agency that's doing really great work. And so I worked for this agency for about 5 years, and I worked my way up, and I became the donor relations coordinator there, and just found so much joy in sending out handwritten thank you notes and talking to donors on the phone and really doing that donor relational, you know, that relationship-based aspect of fundraising, which was so important. And I was fortunate to work for an agency that really put a lot of value in that. And they let me, you know, create new programs and implement new ideas and listen to the Adrian Sargents and the Shannon Doolittles of the world and just shower your donors with love. And so I did that for 5 years. I increased our donor retention rate up to about 55%. which is a lot higher than, you know, the national average, obviously, and then also a lot higher than where we started. And we had some family situations happen, and I just had to take a step back, and my dad just turned 85, and so I had to go help him. You know, he was just needed a little bit more full-time care and attention, and my mom couldn't do that on her own. And so I said, you know what, this is the right move for me. I'm going to go spend a year with my dad, help him, and he's fine. He's good now. But so when I came back to Fort Worth, and there wasn't a spot for me to go back to at the agency that I was at. And so I said, if I could just start a business doing all the things that I love doing, that I was really good at and had a knack for, and nonprofits in general don't have the time or the personnel to do it, what would that look like? And so that's how I started Catherine Morrison Company. I have two separate sides of the business. I have the service side, which is helping nonprofits develop donor gratitude programs, and then I also help them implement those programs. So I do a lot of handwritten thank you notes. I do a lot of phone calls on behalf of the nonprofit, on behalf of my clients. And so I'm talking to their donors. I'm sharing the story of what the agency is doing. And then I'm sending them handwritten follow-up notes to say, hey, thank you for your donation. This is what we were able to do because of you. And so I have the service side of my business, which is new. So this is all kind of started in April. So I'm new to it, but I'm, you know, trying to manage my growth right now, which is really an exciting time. And then I also have a retail side of my business. So I would go to Target. You know, I remember when I was working at the agency, I would go to Target and I would look for thank you cards that were a little bit different and a little bit unique. And they were cool and they were creative, but all they said on there was thank you. And so I also set out to create my own line of stationery where I'm really kind of speaking to the heart of a donor. And so I have a card that says, you are what making a difference looks like. I mean, what donor would not gush over receiving that? I would love to receive that card. And Michael, I'm sure you would too, because it just kind of gets you right when you open it. And so I created this line of gratitude cards really geared towards the donor's heart, of really telling them, thanks, we appreciate you, and we're going to do it in a really personal and creative way.
Now, let me interject for a second here, Catherine, because I've been burning to ask you this question. I've been listening to you and being very attentive, but I've been burning to ask you this question.
Sure.
And it's a very obvious question. If it's as simple as thank you, I mean, two words for such a big feeling. Everyone likes hearing that word, thank you. Why aren't more nonprofits doing it?
Very simple. I mean, it's a very simple reason. They want to do it. They know the importance of it. They, you know, I'm sure a lot of them stress about it. And it's just really simple that they don't have the time and they don't have the staff to do it. You know, these nonprofits are doing really incredible work in the communities that they operate in. And they're so focused on executing the programs. And, you know, all of their money goes towards the programs, and their money goes towards their rent, and their money goes towards fundraising. You know, they have to bring the money in. And so when you're doing so many awesome things in your community and at your agency, sometimes saying thank you falls a little bit, you know, it gets a little bit knocked down the list because it's not valued within every, from the top down. So, and not to say it's not valued, it's very much valued. They just don't have the time to do it. And when, you know, your executive director is there saying, hey, I need an extra $5,000, that's an immediate thing you can do. Whereas saying thank you, you know, I can do that later. And then the list builds and builds and builds. And then it becomes overwhelming. And sometimes, and this happened to me before, where you just kind of get paralyzed. And you're like, this list is so large. How am I going to tackle it? So you just kind of, you know, you shuffle it under the rug and you'll get to it later. And so that's where I come in. I'm a bridge to help that, to help facilitate that. So I can help you make it. Go ahead.
No, let me ask you this here. So when you go in and you work with the nonprofits, and you help them to love on their donors, do you have a rule of thumb in terms of at what point is a donor worthy of a thank you? Because I've had other people on this show to say, well,
yeah,
you know, not all donors are major. You know, if it's someone giving you a gift of $500 or $1,000 or more, then that might be worthy of a thank you. But if they're giving a $10, $15 donation, you just don't have time to thank those people. What is your position on that?
Sure. And I get asked that question a lot. And not everybody likes my answer because it can be a little bit more expensive than you're thinking. But Adrian Sargent once told me the story about this woman who gave a $10 donation to a library up in New York. And they stewarded her. They said, thank you. And they said, you know, we appreciate you. And she left them millions of dollars in her estate. So a lot of times people will give, you know, kind of a feeler donation. I'm not going to commit $5,000 to you when I don't know you as an organization and how you're going to, you know, respond and how well are you equipped as an organization to love on your donors. And so they'll make an introductory donation of $10, $25, $50 and see what the reaction is for that. And so going back to my childhood, I remember this happening a lot. And this is when I really started to pay attention, is with how my parents were stewarded as donors. Oftentimes they would give a gift, and if they didn't get anything back or they didn't feel the love or they weren't told what their money did, or they weren't sent a report, like, those nonprofits are not currently on their giving list. The ones that made a really personal interaction, the ones that really took the time to steward them, are still on their giving list. And this is, you know, 30 years later. And so it doesn't matter how much somebody gives, because if they give $10, that might be the last $10 in their wallet. And they are saying that your organization is worthy and they want to contribute to you. And I think, you know, just as a sign of respect for what they've given up, why not say thank you for that?
Yeah, and I agree with you a whole lot. You know, the question that we get a lot, again, asked on this show, Catherine, is, and I'll pose it to you because you're the gratitude champion, what is something a simple nonprofit, large or small, can do to show appreciation to their donors and volunteers?
So there's a few things that I always recommend. If they're like, hey, Catherine, we love you. We want to work with you. How can we get started on our own? This is what I would say. I would say you can make a phone call and you can send a note. So let's talk about making a phone call. Really, you know, donors love hearing from you. 94% of donors would love to receive a phone call from a charity. 96% of donors only receive a phone call from a charity if it's a solicitation.
Yes.
So a phone call is so simple. It'll shock their system a little bit. That happens to me a lot. But make a phone call. You know, and a few things about making a phone call is smile in the mirror. It looks weird when I'm sitting at my desk and I have a mirror, but I'm smiling at myself. But it makes you, you know, it changes your tone and it changes the approach that you're taking. And they can feel that through the phone. So make a phone call just to say thank you. So we have, at the agency that I used to work for, we had five people in our development department. And Monday was my day. Tuesday was Alex's day. Wednesday was somebody else's day. So everybody had a different day. And so the donations that came in on that day, it was my responsibility to call all the donors that came in on Monday. Sometimes it was 2, sometimes it was 10, but that was a really easy thing to do. So don't think about, you know, the hundreds of donors that you're thinking about, your list. Think about, you know, the first 5 that pop in your head, if you just want to get started. And, you know, create a manageable plan. Don't say, I'm going to call 30 people a day, because that's just not realistic sometimes. So make it manageable. Smile at yourself, which sounds weird. But then if you get there and you can't do that, you're just like, gosh, I don't have the time. That's where I come in and I can do that for you. Secondly,
go ahead. Well, I just want to ask you to really touch on the practical aspect of that. So when you call them, what do you say?
Yeah. So if I get a donation in, I'll say, Michael, this is Catherine. I'm calling from the Michael Chapman Show. We got your donation today, and I just wanted to tell you that's really going to make a difference in the life of a child. And then you can share a story. You know, just yesterday, little Susan came in, and her parents can't afford counseling, but because of you, like, we're going to be able to offer that. And so we just wanted to call and say thank you. Thank you for making that possible. And then you make a note of that, and then 6 to 8 weeks later, you can send them a follow-up handwritten note that says, hey, Michael, just wanted to follow up. And the donation you made, Susan, she's doing really well. She's getting the counseling she needs, and we couldn't have done that without you. So, the phone call is more about the donor. You know, you're not telling the donor all the things that you're going to be able to do with their money. You're saying, Michael, you are making a difference in the life of a child. You are helping this veteran get off the street. This is what you're doing, and we're just the facilitators of that.
Say you more than I.
You know, that's one rule of thumb. Every time I write a note or I craft a story, I always do an inventory of how many you's do I have over I's. And so make it donor-centered, all about the donor, what they're able to do through your organization.
How often should you thank a donor? Is it only on the heels of every gift they make? Or what would you suggest there?
No, so at the minimum, I like to thank a donor 3 times before I ask them for anything, at a minimum.
Okay.
So I thank them within 48 hours of a gift, and that acknowledges, that says a few things. Number one, we got your gift, you know, because the formal letter sometimes might take up to 2 weeks to get out. So I always make a phone call within the first 48 hours to say, hey, we got your gift. And that says, that acknowledges that you received it, and then you're going to say, we're going to immediately put it to work. And so that lets the donor know that they have something in mind that they're going to use that for. And then you're going to follow up with them. I like to follow up about 6 to 8 weeks later. That says, hey, this is what we were able to do. And I like to do that with a handwritten thank you note, because the only mail that I receive nowadays at my house is junk mail or direct mail. So it's nice to get something handwritten to me. And it just kind of keeps that nonprofit in their mind, also the donor, in the donor's mind. And then I like to follow up before I send out an appeal. So, and that's more of just a casual, hey, this is something that's really exciting that just happened at our agency, or something in general about the agency that was really exciting, or something new that's coming out, or something coming up. So 3 times at a minimum before you ask them for anything.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at the donor retention statistics that come out through either Chronicle of Philanthropy or through AFP, Association of Fundraising Professionals, they are atrocious. I mean, the uh-huh. retention rates are utterly ridiculous. And this is even amongst huge nonprofits. I will not name them on this show, but huge blue chip nonprofits are not doing this.
Yeah.
So do you take a different approach when you're working with a smaller boutique shop as opposed to a huge corporate multi chapter office?
No, because the message that you should be sharing with your donor is the same. The story of one, the storytelling and the building of the story is so important, and it's the story of one. You know, if I can connect with you one-on-one as a donor and tell you about little Susan and the difference that you made in her life, that's a translatable story, whether you're a small nonprofit or a large agency. Where the, donor retention rates are, it's really sad that, Dan Pallotta, his infamous speech about, the nonprofits and the guilt that's put on them for spending money, in corporations, I don't know if you know this, Michael, but corporations in general, like some of the top blue chip corporations, have like 96% donor customer retention.
Yes.
And it's because they're allowed to show love to their customers in a way that nonprofits are kind of shamed for it. And, it's just spending that money to do it. And so if if nonprofits give themselves a little bit of grace and say, this is really important and this will increase our donations and it will increase our bottom line and it will increase our retention, I'm just, you know, I can't build a strong enough argument to love on your donors, honestly. But yeah. I think the story among large nonprofits and small nonprofits is the same. You're connecting one-on-one with a donor. You can do that on a large scale, and you can do that on a small scale.
Well, let me interject again here, Catherine. I think you started to touch on this a little bit, but let me walk you inside the average director of development that comes on this show. Okay. That's not to say that we don't interview CEOs and board chairs of nonprofits as well, but we do give a lot of time to directors of development, and many of them are not in the position where they influence organizational development. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact why the attrition rate is so high amongst development professionals. I don't know what the new statistics are, but I would estimate that it's in the neighborhood of about 18 months to 2 years, they're in and out. And so how, from that position, can they influence the conversation at the board level, at the executive level, to get the organization to buy into a culture of gratitude and loving on donors?
And that's part of the problem. You know, 18 months was the last statistic I heard, and especially for the millennial generation, which is the ones coming into the workforce and taking those, you know, nonprofit entry-level jobs. 18 months. And within 18 months, you're not... I don't really feel like you have enough time to implement a strategy and see the fruits of it come back. And so I don't have a really awesome answer for you, but I would say that it's, you know, building the case for the investment of gratitude. So what does that look like? It looks like, you know, building a plan, saying this is our plan for the year. This is, you know, we're going to thank our donors within 48 hours. We're going to send them handwritten follow-up notes, and then tracking that information. So one of my clients, they just came back to me a few weeks ago and said, for every dollar we've paid you, we've gotten $16 back in donations. And being able to present those kind of fruits to your board helps make that case. And so it's being able to do the research on the impact of donor relations and the impact of gratitude and sharing that message with your board as an investment into your bottom line. Because Adrian Sargent, I mean, sorry, I'm going to preach on Adrian Sargent, but he's pretty awesome and amazing. If you increase your donor retention by 10%, that increases the lifetime value of your donor base by up to 50%.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of statistics around it, and it's just hard. It's hard for nonprofits to, I think, make the decision to spend the money now without getting a reward right now. And so it's something that you implement, and then you start to see the fruits of your labor after a while. So it just takes a lot of research, I think, and a case for the board.
Yeah, we have about 3.5 minutes left. I just wanted to kind of give you a time warning here, but let me just say this and give you a chance to give me a quick response. So in addition to my work here on radio, I'm also the president and CEO of a foundation, a grant-making foundation. And
awesome.
So one of the things that we do in our work is nonprofit capacity building, and a lot of it has to do with fundraising. So we can bring in a person like Catherine Morris. We can see the idea about the importance of donor retention. And everyone will nod, but at the end of the day, it's when can I get the next grant from you? Not how can we go back, hire a Catherine Morris to take a look at our existing donor base and find out how we can increase our donor retention rate. I just really wish that I could do more to get our nonprofits that we even grant to see the importance of the money is not getting another grant from us. The issue is donor retention and loving on your donors.
Yeah. So a really kind of introductory way to kind of introduce me or the concept of being a gratitude champion is with special events. I know everybody hates special events. I'm not the biggest fan of them, but it's a great opportunity to, in a manageable way, say, we're going to focus on these donors from this special event, and we're going to love on them throughout the year. So it's an easy way to make it a manageable introduction with that. But, I mean, Michael, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think gratitude is it's often difficult to see the value of it when you're scraping for the next donation. So it's difficult, but that's where I come in, and that's where I have a heart for it. And my clients are it's a really awesome experience of what I'm doing and what I'm able to see be done with my clients, and just the weight that it takes off of their development department shoulders. Is because it allows them to really focus a little bit more on the details of what they're doing instead of just getting through it, which we do a lot. I know I did when I was at a nonprofit. I was just trying to get it done. And so it allows the nonprofit to get focus on what they're good at so I can focus on what I'm good at.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And, you know, we definitely need to have a conversation off the air to see how I might be able to advance this message. Because I think what you're doing is awesome, Catherine. I really do. I'm going to give you the last word before I wrap up in about another 30 seconds.
Well, I will end with this, and I've seen this on your Twitter quite often, and it's also hanging in my wall. Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will be himself be refreshed." So I get to go home every day with a full heart. Great conversations with donors, and my bucket is filled, and I'm helping with a nonprofit. So it's a win-win-win situation. It's a win for me. It's a win for the donors of the nonprofit, and then it's a win for my clients.
That's awesome.
I'm happy to be grateful, and it's an awesome experience to walk away with every day.
That's good. I'm afraid I'm going to have to end it there. We have about 30 seconds left. Catherine, thank you so much for being on the show. We've been talking today on the Michael Chapman Giving Show with Catherine Morris, who is the president of Catherine Morris and Company, and she is known as the Gratitude Champion, helping you to love on your donors. Tell other people about us. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 11 Central Time on the Unity FM Network Online. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Michael Chapman Giving Show. Join Michael at 11 a.m. Central on Thursdays as he helps you uncover the joys of giving, featuring today's best-known philanthropists, private donors, public foundations, and a host of others. To give really is to receive.
If Unity Online Radio has helped you grow spiritually through programs like this one, please consider supporting this online radio programming. Visit www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now. Thank you for helping us continue to serve as the voice of an awakening world.